What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogelmeyer. We are two writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers now for over five seasons, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, and now this is our third season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, yesterday we talked about the Chargers and what their needs still were in free agency after the first big wave had passed. And what did the Chargers do? They went and signed two position players that played positions of need that we talked about yesterday. So we're obviously going to start the show with that right there. Then the second segment, we're going to elaborate on those a little bit and tell you if that means the Chargers are done addressing those positions going forward. And also talk about the new logo that dropped today for the Chargers, which was noticeably better than the one that was dropped by the Los Angeles Rams. So I think me and David are both fans of it. I'm not sure how John feels about it. Probably not very good about it, knowing John, but we are fans of it over here. And then to wrap the show up, as we always do, not ever on Wednesday, but since we have so many voicemails today, we are doing some fan voicemails. So we don't want to do them every day, but Monday, Wednesday, Friday, to try and catch up a little bit is what we're going to do to try to fit some of these in. So let's go ahead and get into it. Tom Telesco and the Los Angeles Chargers were pretty quiet after the signing of Chris Harris Jr. from the Denver Broncos, but on Tuesday they got back in the action and signed two more positions of need in free agency. This is Daniel Wade joined by David Drogelmeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. The Chargers made a couple of moves on Tuesday. Adam Kaplan, NFL reporter, reported that the Chargers and former Bengals linebacker Nick Vigil have agreed on terms to a contract, so the Chargers are addressing the linebacker position. And there were multiple people reporting that the Chargers have signed tight end Donald Parham, who was most recently in the XFL with the Dallas Renegades. So the Chargers have signed a linebacker and a tight end now to go along with the additions they made to the cornerback position, defensive tackle position, and offensive tackle position. But starting with Nick Vigil, the Chargers are getting a guy who's drafted by the Bengals and has played the last four seasons with them, and this is the first time he's been a free agent. Now he comes to the Chargers after a very productive season, David. He played a lot of snaps for them and played a few different positions for the Bengals last year, and the Chargers are getting a young linebacker that has a lot of experience.
Yeah, 4 years in the league. Nick Vigil's 6'2", 235 pounds out of Utah State. He played all 16 games last year, had 111 combined tackles, 60 solo tackles, a sack, and an interception. Nick Vigil is a solid player in the NFL. He is a solid linebacker. He has some issues with missed tackles, but he is productive. He is going to get there. He's going to read the play. He's got some good football IQ. He is a solid depth piece. He's also going to add some special teams value as well, which the Chargers are going to need because Adrian Phillips and Derek Watt, two of their better special teams players, decided to leave in free agency. So this impacts two positions. Of course, adding depth to the linebacker core, which they needed to do when Thomas Davis departed, and they added some more value to special teams. So they add some depth at two different positions.
Yeah, and I think for Nick Vigil last season, if you look at his Pro Football Focus grades, I mean, basically his whole career has been wholly average. And I think for the most part, he is a pretty average linebacker in the NFL, but he was pretty good in coverage last year. He only surrendered a 72.9 passer rating against him when he was in coverage, but the missed tackles, 21 missed tackles, according to Pro Football Reference, a 15.9% missed tackle percentage. That's something he's definitely going to need to work on in the NFL. But the other signing, Donald Parham, a tight end who is absolutely a giant. It reminds me of former Charger Ladarius Green. He's 6'8", 240, was an undrafted free agent coming out of Stetson College, which is a pretty small school. So that's probably why you've never heard of him. Tagged on with the Detroit Lions as an undrafted free agent, but spent his most recent season in the XFL where he did pretty good things. And David, this is a guy who has a lot of athleticism, a lot of size, something to get excited about, but it's obviously going to be a big transition for him taking his talent from the XFL to the NFL.
No question about it, but he has the prototypical size. Actually, he has above average size. Yeah. I mean, 6'8", he is a giant. So he is going to be a huge target. He has a large wingspan, a big catch radius, and he's got some really good speed too. I mean, when he did his pro day, when he was preparing for the NFL draft and got picked up by the Detroit Lions, he actually ran in the low 4.6s in a 40 time. So for a man that large to run that fast, that's extremely impressive. And in the XFL, the reboot, he performed extremely well. He had 4 touchdowns in 5 games. He had 24 receptions, at least 4 catches in every single game, 307 yards. You know, this is a guy who has some pedigree. I mean, even in college, his senior year, 9 games, 85 catches, 1,319 yards and 13 touchdowns. So this is a very productive tight end, and he has that pass-catching pedigree that the Chargers are kind of lacking behind Hunter Henry.
Yeah, David, and I think when you see a pick like this, a guy from the XFL who is just trying to get into the league, this is a low-cost, high-potential move where you might be able to get a tight end that's productive behind Hunter Henry, who is really the only legitimate option at the position who you just brought back, but he needed friends at the position group because that's been pretty barren for the Chargers, but he has all the speed. There's a 65-yard touchdown in which he got over 21 miles per hour, so he has that top-end speed. He has pretty good hands, and I think it's a very interesting pickup for the Chargers. But either way, Tom Telesco, even after the big signings, is finding low-cost players to come in and fill some of the holes that are still on this roster, and more importantly, find some depth. But we do have 2 more segments to get into. We're going to talk about what this means for the Chargers and free agency going forward with these moves, and also getting to the new logo change, as well as getting into some voicemails at the end of the show. All right, David. Well, it's pretty funny because yesterday we were talking about what the Chargers still needed to address in free agency now that the big wave of free agents the first week was over. And one of the positions we mentioned was linebacker, and one of the positions we mentioned was tight end. And the Chargers on Tuesday somehow addressed both of those positions in some way because, right, these aren't guys that are necessarily going to come in and now you feel great about the future of those positions. These are not guys that you expect to be superstars, but we always talk about depth and how important it is and how Tom Telesco has failed to really find depth for key positions after injuries happen. So we know Denzel Perryman's injury history. So now you have this guy, Nick Vigil, coming in to be in the linebacker position who has a ton of experience, who's a pretty solid player, has some weak spots as well. But now, David, we see Tom Telesco in the coupon bin, in the bargain bin, trying to find these guys on low contracts and bringing guys who could potentially contribute this season.
This is where Tom Telesco absolutely shines. This is where he loves to operate, right here, right where you can add those low-cost signings, those low-risk, high-reward potential, and just guys that are going to add quality depth. That's exactly what Nick Vigil is going to be. We know that in the NFL, injuries happen all the time, especially in the linebacker core where they play a very physical position, where they're constantly running their bodies into offensive linemen and into receivers and running backs. So you're going to need guys that are going to be able to rotate and get on the football field. Nick Vigil is a very solid linebacker. I wouldn't really use any other adjective to describe him because he's not flashy. He's not going to be a starter. He is depth. That is exactly what the Chargers signed him for, and it's going to be quality depth.
And I think you have to use him alongside Denzel Perryman. He's the guy that was much better in coverage than he was stopping the run last year. I mean, pretty solid all around. I guess it wasn't really that much of a difference. He's a decent run defender, but as far as coverage, I think he's a big upgrade over Denzel Perryman. I talked about the stats a little bit before, but it just means you have to use him, right? They shouldn't be using him as a blitzer. He blitzed 60 times last season, and it only generated 6 pressures and 3 knockdowns, so that's definitely not his forte. And we talked about the 21 missed tackles and the 15.9% missed tackle percentage, but in 2018, it was much better. It was only 10.6%, which is something you would live with. But this is a guy that can cover some ground. He can get out in the flat against tight ends and running backs, but he's not a flashy player, like you said. And I think the 3 tackles for loss last season out of his 111 total tackles kind of shows you that. He's a very patient guy. He waits for the hole to open up, and he usually fills it pretty good. So I think it's a solid depth player, but I have seen some people reporting that he's going to start alongside Drew Tranquil. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it would just seem weird to, you know, have a guy like Drew Tranquil come in last year for injured guys, prove that he belongs on this team, proves that he belongs to be one of the leaders on this defense and have a starting role, and then you're going to find a pretty average player to replace him with. So I think Drew Tranquil and Denzel Perryman in all likelihood would be the starters. They've said before that Kazir White, they want on that they want at the strong side linebacker position because of the knee injuries that he's had in the past. So we'll see. But depth is always good. And that's what we saw with the Chargers at tight end. And I think now the biggest question is, do you need to bring in someone else? Because I think whether or not they keep Sean Colkin is a reasonable question. But it's entirely possible the Chargers decide to carry four tight ends in that case. Or it's probably Andrew Vollert, even Virgil Green, Hunter Henry, and Donald Parham. And I've seen some places it's a two-year deal, so maybe he has a little bit of a head start of some of the undrafted free agents that are coming in because he actually has something invested in him, unlike them. So I think he has a decent chance to make the roster. And I think for the most part, the Chargers probably feel like this position is filled. They haven't spent a lot of draft capital. They haven't spent a lot of assets trying to acquire other tight ends since they've got Hunter Henry. I mean, they brought in Antonio Gates before they brought in a new body a couple of years ago when Hunter Henry was injured for the entire season. So, David, I don't necessarily think this means 100% that the Chargers are done adding to the tight end position, but there's only so many players you're going to put on the roster. They haven't moved on from Virgil Green yet. Obviously, Hunter Henry's not going anywhere, so I wouldn't expect much else out of the position, even though it is possible they could go and try to draft someone.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. I mean, I could see them using a 5th, 6th, 7th round pick on a tight end to try to add somebody to that position. I mean, Hunter Henry is great. Virgil Green is who he is. But behind that, you don't really have very much production or depth at all. So I could see them adding to that position. But let's give some props to Tom Telesco for not leaving any stone unturned and seeing some value from the XFL of all places. And honestly, I think this is exactly what the XFL could turn into. They could turn into a place where players could reestablish their value and try to get another opportunity to absolutely make it to the big time. That is the NFL, obviously. The biggest show in the world, the highest level of football, that's exactly what these guys are trying to do. I'm sure that's what they had in mind when they signed an XFL contract. They said, hey, if I show out here and I play well and I make plays and I stand out, then maybe I can get another shot at the league. And that is exactly what happened for Donald Parham.
Yeah, and you've seen it around the league as well. There's been a few different XFL signings. The most notable one has to be PJ Walker, though, who signed on with his former coach at Temple, Matt Rhule, in Carolina. He was the presumed MVP of the XFL if it were not to get shut down, at least through 5 games. I mean, he was a stud in that league, and I knew he would generate some interest, and the Chargers are one of the latest teams to pick up one of these players. But yes, that is the ultimate goal. You want to be able to get another shot if you've been there, and you want to get your first shot if you fell through the cracks. So when you look at Parham, he had a little bit of time with the Detroit Lions, got cut, and that was basically it for him in the NFL. And that was basically it for him at that point. He gets in the XFL, he shows up, he shows out, and now he gets another chance. So you have to love that. But one of the things this does, David, is it frees up more of your draft picks. Because the thing about the draft is if you go into the draft with a ton of holes, you might think that you have to reach for certain positions. And I think when you're filling these holes in free agency, when you're bringing in some low-cost, low-budget guys like this, filling more holes, it just gives you that much more freedom in the draft to not try to have to fill certain positions and instead be able to take the best player available, because that's really always what you want. Your pick in the draft, you want to get the guy who's going to be able to produce most for your team and is the best player available.
Not only that, but the guys that you brought in are young. Donald Parham is 22 years old, so there's right. Definitely room to improve. There's room for him to grow and get better. Nick Vigil's 26 years old. So if he does well, then that could potentially turn into another year or another 2 years. So there's a lot of – I love the fact that they signed decent guys that are young that have room for improvement, because, like I said, you could extend them on if they play well. And if not, it's a 1 year, 2 year commitment. I'm sure Donald Parham's not really making a whole lot of money. I'd be interested to see what the details are when that comes out. But my point still stands. They're young guys that allows you to kind of kick the can down the road a little bit and address other needs that might be more pressing, like you said.
Well, and if you're getting contributions from guys who aren't making a lot of money, it helps you pay for the guys who need to make a lot of money to keep a guy like, you know, Joey Bosa, potentially. So I think all of these things help if you can get guys who can contribute for less of a price tag, and Tom Telesco always builds up those contracts so he can get out of them. That's how you build a complete roster, and I think the Chargers are on their way to that, and it's getting more complete by the day. But we do have one more thing to get into this segment, and that is the Chargers actually changing their logo. So yesterday, we heard from Joe Reedy of the Associated Press that the Chargers were one of a few teams that were not only just changing their logo, but also their uniforms as well. The Rams yesterday got roasted, or a couple of days ago as you're listening to this, got roasted for their new logo. The Chargers basically dropped theirs the next day, I guess fully confident that the same wasn't going to happen to them. And they were right, because I think generally, David, this was a very well-conceived logo. We do not know what the uniforms look like yet, but the logo, they didn't change a lot. You have some new font in the letters, the A on Los Angeles and Chargers. Both of those A's have little lightning bolts coming out of them. I guess that's one of the flashy things with the text. But the logo itself, it's a little bit lighter colors. It's a little bit more elongated, not as much of an arc in the bolt. This is me trying to explain to you what it looks like over a podcast. Google it. But I think overall, David, they did a good job. And I think, like we talked about yesterday, less is more in some ways.
No question about it, especially when you have an iconic color scheme and pretty decent logos that have stood the test of time. You want something that's going to stand out but also be extremely simple. And I even like their alternative logo as well. I put a picture of it.
The smiley face with the bold eyes. Yeah,
exactly. The smiley face with the bold eyes. I think it's super simple, but honestly, it's really, really cool. And if you want to see, you know, if you want to take a look at that and see what that looks like, go check it out on Twitter at LockedOnLAC. I did put a picture of it up there so you can see it. And also all of the other logos, of course, we're going to retweet all of those out. But I'm a big fan, actually. I mean, it's super simple adjustments, but it gives me confidence for what they're going to do with the jerseys. And also the hype video, if you haven't seen it, definitely go check that out. But it has a very authentic reaction from Peter Schrager from NFL Network, and he seems to be extremely ecstatic about the new jerseys. And like we said the other day, I mean, the Chargers have to get this right. I mean, they have some of the best jerseys in NFL history. That has to continue. If not, it's going to be a massive failure.
Yeah, I mean, I literally got goosebumps right now just thinking of what his face looked like when he looked at that, because, I mean, we reported yesterday that it was going to change, and then we told you that Benjamin Albright, the Denver reporter for the Broncos, it said that, I mean, they're the coolest looking uniforms in the NFL out of all of the people that are changing their uniforms. It seems to be pretty genuine reaction. That look on Peter Schrager's face, I don't know how good of an actor is, but they all look genuinely surprised, and it seems to look really nice. So I can't wait to see it. I got hyped from that video. Definitely check it out at Locked On LAC if you haven't seen it. And I mean, for the jerseys, I think we're hoping for more of the same, because the one criticism was that it was pretty similar, at least as far as the logo went, but I'd rather them keep it similar. I think we all saw how bad it was when they tried to move up to LA and looked like they were stealing the Dodgers logo. Nobody wants that to happen again. I think they did a really good job with the logo. Let's see how they do now with those historic uniforms. But we do have one more segment to get into. We have a bunch of voicemail callers that we got to listen to, so let's get into that right after this. All right, well, it's time to get into our voicemail segments. Like I said, we don't plan on doing voicemails all the time, because I know some of you just want the hard-hitting information. And I think, honestly, the voicemail calls bring out some of those things. They bring up questions that we might not have thought of. They bring up some different angles on takes that we might not have thought of. So I think overall it's good, and we keep them pretty original as far as the questions go. But if you don't know, the number to call in is 323-524-7924, and every Chargers voicemail gets played on the show. So thanks to everyone who called in for today's show. But we are starting with a recurring caller who we already heard from at the beginning of free agency, you know, wondering why Tom Telesco didn't make any moves. Well, he wasn't really wondering, but he was saying, you know, no surprise, Tom Telesco is not out there on day one. Then everything else happened. Let's hear what Pat from Long Beach has to say for us this week.
Yo, what's up, fellas? Pat from Long Beach again. Just like everybody else knows now, man, Tommy T, man, made some good moves today. You know, signing Linval Joseph, big nose tackle from Minnesota. I thought that was a good pickup. You know, help shore our defensive line a little bit. You know, we needed some guy in the middle to kind of just be a beast up the front. And then the cherry on top was signing Chris Harris, man. Oh, man. Our secondary is stacked right now. And if Knives can somehow flourish and turn out to be what we drafted him for, ooh, that secondary is going to dangerous. And our front defensive line should be good. You know, signed Brian Bulaga. You know, traded for Trey Turner. Offensive line is looking good with Mike Pouncey at center, Dan Feeney at left guard. Just need a left tackle now. I think things are going pretty good. You know, if we would have signed Tom Brady, that mega contract of $30 million, we wouldn't have been able to get none of these guys. Just want to hear your guys' thoughts. I know news for today. I know all Charger fans are pretty stoked right now. And what other moves you guys think we're going to do? You know, finishing off, I know I've seen some names, you know, around like Jason Peters or even bringing back guys like Adrian Phillips. They're even still talking about maybe Melvin Gordon might come back, especially after all the moves for Lester. So we'll see. What do you guys think? You know, give me your thoughts. And, yeah, man, Chargers coming back. I think we need to get Tua, though. I mean, the cherry on top in my eyes. I just watched some of his film. Everything he got, man. He got every throw you in the book. All right, fellas, well, see? And bolt up. Go.
All right, so I don't want to bore everyone and get back into, you know, we did our free agency grades, and obviously Pat called in before all that stuff, but I think one of the things to remember of this is just not to overreact when things happen or don't happen in this case, just because there could always be bigger, better things on the horizon. And the one thing I'm taking away from this, even, you know, knowing that Tua is somebody we're in favor of and that we liked all of the signings so far in free agency, even the last two, I mean, I think there's good justification behind it, even if we're not, you know, jumping out of our chairs for it. But I think the one thing that we've talked a little bit about, but not extensively, is just the fact that none of this happens if the Chargers go for Tom Brady. I mean, I was surprised Tom Telesco is willing to sign a 43-year-old quarterback who wanted roster control, because that's not something GMs want to give away. But at the end of the day, the Chargers are a much more complete roster now, David, because they didn't go after Tom Brady. That $30 million that would have went to him basically went to Linval Joseph, Chris Harris, and Brian Bulaga. I mean, the other two guys maybe you still could have signed, but the bulk of the really good signings that you had came specifically because you didn't go sign Tom Brady.
You're absolutely right about that, Daniel. And also, part of me thinks that the move or the Chargers' interest in Tom Brady goes above Tom Telesco's head. I think that was more, you know, the ownership, you know, wanting to bring in a guy.
That's a really good point.
Is going to put butts in seats. I mean, there's no question about it. Tom Brady is polarizing. He's been in the league for 20 years, had unprecedented success. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Who wouldn't want to bring that guy to be the face of your franchise for a year or two? Because that's going to make you money. And as an NFL owner, these guys are rich, but guess what? They want to get richer. So that's definitely, in my mind, part of the inspiration for going after Tom Brady. I'm sure if you asked Tom Telesco and you had the opportunity to ask him just face-to-face with nobody else around, he probably would have been like, I wasn't interested in signing Tom Brady at all. But I had orders, and, you know, when I get orders, I have to carry them out. But, yeah, that doesn't happen. You know, none of those other signings happen. You don't address all of those other holes if you do bring Tom Brady into the building. So you miss out on Tom Brady, but you add quality starters at several other positions to make a more complete team.
Exactly, and that's what you want. You want to be able to fill the most holes with the cap space available, and obviously we know how important the quarterback position is. But for Tom Brady, not being able to sign those guys just to go get him and really be unsure about the defensive tackle position, unsure about the right tackle position, I mean, all of those things, it doesn't really make sense. You don't add the talent of Chris Harris. I really like the fact they didn't get him, and I think all of the rest of the moves were because of that. But we do have another voicemail to get into, a first-time caller. We have a couple of first-time callers, but the first one here is Brian from Tennessee.
Hey, guys. This is Brian from Tennessee. Just had a couple questions about, you know, the state of the Chargers and going into the next year. One thing is, just, you know, talking about after seeing the free agency moves made, here you really looks like the defense should be really good on paper. You know, question now is really that linebacking group. So I'm assuming you were looking at Denzel Perryman, Kaiser White, and Drew Tranquil being our big three. What do you think they do in the draft to try and maybe add some depth? And I mean, I think we're pretty much done with free agency and getting anybody there that would bring any beneficial, you know, improvements. Second thing is just the new stadium. You know, there's always, they had trouble filling out that soccer stadium in LA. I went to a game here in Tennessee with the Chargers, and you know, I was surprised to see that about, it seemed like about half the stadium was filled with Chargers fans. It was like about a 50-50 split. So it's kind of curious. I was surprised to see that many people. And then, you know, why just, I guess, why can't we travel? I know personally, it's just, you know, living in Tennessee, it's difficult to, the idea to try and go to California for a game, but it's just surprising to me that you see so few fans supporting them out west when there seems to be a big following out here on the east. So I appreciate the content you guys create. Take care and have a good one. Bye.
All right. So first of all, I think when you're looking at the linebackers on paper, obviously, because you're right, Drew Tranquil, Denzel Perryman, those would be the starters in my mind on paper, with Kazir White as the strong side linebacker. You have Tranquil or Denzel Perryman. I'm not sure how they're going to do it yet, as either the weak side and the middle linebacker. They're pretty interchangeable, but I'd rather have him, if you have both those guys on the field, at the Mike linebacker position. But I think, Brian, we just saw what they were going to do, right? So I think there are still some options in the draft. I mean, guys like Willie Gay Jr. out there, Troy Dye is a common pick of linebackers to go to the Chargers in a lot of mocks. So I think there are still possibilities out there, but it does seem like this is a move that here's your depth. Here's another guy to rotate in and out. Here's another guy who's going to be serviceable if one of your two starters goes down. I don't think they're signing him to be a starter. But the other part of what you said, filling the stadium and seeing other stadiums around the NFL filling up with more Chargers fans than they're actually getting at home, that one's a little bit more complicated, because I think here in, you know, Southern California, the Chargers had a lot of fans here. They burned out a lot of fans here, and there's just certain people in Southern California that are just going to refuse to show up to Chargers games because of the ownership moving the team to Los Angeles. And in Los Angeles specifically, David, there is so much to do. There's so much of a winning legacy. There are so many other teams and sporting events that people care about more than football in Los Angeles, as well as just so much more else to do, that I think all of those things play factor. But I think you can tell even in the voicemail calls. I mean, how many voicemail calls have we got that aren't from Southern California? I mean, two from Arizona, I think, this week. We had one from North Carolina recently. We've had some from Ireland, had some from Australia, had some from England. I mean, we see Chargers fans spread out everywhere, but in Southern California, the part of their fan base they didn't burn by moving to Los Angeles, they don't seem to be willing to go fill these stadiums. And when you're moving into an 80,000 seat stadium, that's a big concern when you add problems trying to fill the one that was 27,000 seats.
Yeah, no, you're going to have that same problem in Los Angeles for sure.
It's going to be a bigger problem.
It's going to be a huge problem. They're not going to be able to fill up that stadium with Charger fans. And the reason why Charger fans travel so well has everything to do with the fact that they left San Diego. I truly do believe that. I mean, they were in San Diego for 56 years, and I think there's still a lot of closet fans out there that would much rather travel, spend their money, make a vacation out of it, and go see the Chargers play somewhere else that's not in Los Angeles. I don't think they want to give their money to the Chargers organization. They want to give it to the opposing teams, but still watch the team that they still secretly love. I do truly believe that. That's a big part of it.
And I think, I mean, a lot of people are still like hate watching things like that. Those aren't fans that are going to be consumers that are going to be putting money in Dean Spanos' pocket for the most part.
Not at all, exactly. They're not going to give him any money, but they would gladly give it to someone else, but still watch the team that they want to watch. I think that is a big factor in this. I'd love to see how it's going to work out next year in the new stadium and how lopsided it's going to be. If they can't fill up a soccer stadium, like you mentioned, Daniel, I mean, this just has disaster written all over it. And in Los Angeles, like you mentioned, if you do not win, you are an afterthought immediately.
Well, and I think what we saw from the Chargers early on is the Chargers did win 9-7, 12-4 their first two seasons, and they were still having these struggles. Then they lost the winning part of it, and it got truly bad last season, if it wasn't already really bad. But I also think part of it is Tennessee, that was a game that had a lot of Chargers fans. But at the same time, it's not like that at every road venue that they go to. I mean, you're not seeing half the stadium fill up with Chargers fans when the Chargers go play the Raiders, or like, which would happen if it was vice versa when the Raiders come to the Chargers. So I think there's a lot of things that go into it, but either way, you're right about one thing. The Chargers aren't going to be able to fill up an 80,000 seat stadium with their fans, and they're not going to be able to fill it up with the other team's fans either. That's just too big of a stadium to do that in. So we'll see what happens, but I do not have very good feelings about it. It's going to look pretty scary, I think, at least at the beginning.
You're going to see some tarps for sure.
Yeah. But like, we do have one more voicemail caller to get into, another first-time caller. This is Chris from Boise, Idaho, a former San Diegan and season ticket holder. Let's hear what Chris has to say.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Chris Boltzman from Boise, Idaho. Moved here from Southern California. I was born and raised down there. Used to be a season ticket holder at Qualcomm. Anyways, my question is, I was listening to a podcast with Adam Schefter today and Anthony Lynn, and Adam asked Anthony what his thoughts were on who's going to surprise everybody this year, be the biggest up-and-comer or biggest standout on the team. And Coach Lynn said it was Rayshon Jenkins. He thought that he was a top-five free safety last year and that he's going to come in and do the same or better this year. So with Chris Harris, now we know big sign going into the slot. What are we doing with Desmond King, and what are we doing with Mr. Adderley? I know that there was talk pre-draft with Adderley of possibly going to corner, so we might be able to transition him to outside corner, a la Byron Jones. But what do we do with Desmond King at that point? So just want to get you guys' thoughts on that. Real happy with what we've done in free agency. Hoping that we get our QB of the future in the draft and bolt up. Thanks, guys.
So this is another thing that we've kind of talked about a little bit, but we didn't really necessarily focus on Nazir Adderley, even though we did talk about it. And obviously Desmond King, I think really you saw something happen kind of already with this on Twitter when the Chargers put out what is their dream secondary, and they forgot to put Desmond King in and had to add it in over 20 minutes later. Desmond King then went on Twitter and put, like, you know, couldn't believe it, and said something like "for real" kind of thing like that on Twitter, which is kind of like, oh, that's definitely not a good thing. But I think this is a natural question, and somebody has to take over that Adrian Phillips role, and I don't think neither one of them is actually the right type of guy to do it. And I think that as far as a physicality standpoint, I should say, but it also doesn't seem like they're going to, you know, replace Rayshon Jenkins when they're saying that Desmond King might play safety. So it doesn't really make a lot of sense. But if you're talking about Nazir Adderley outside corner, hell yeah, it's worth a shot, David. I mean, I can think of one position that's pretty open in that secondary right now and is pretty up for grabs, and I would say that's that outside corner position outside of Casey Hayward. So whether maybe Desmond King gets some cracks out there and he plays in all the, you know, nickel and sub packages and gets on the field some other way, or it's Nazir Adderley just lining up there full-time on the outside, I mean, I'm willing to entertain it because I just want to see these guys get on the field.
That's exactly what it is for me. I just want to see Nazir Adderley on the football field. I want to see him healthy. The just little glimmer, that little glimpse we saw in that fourth preseason game was enough for me to see that he clearly has football instincts and he has a knack for the football. He's around the football, and I'd like to see him on the field. I just want to see him in any capacity. He clearly has the speed. He has the instincts. He has the ball skills that you want that type of player on the field helping you win games. If you're not going to have him at free safety where you originally drafted him to play, then get him on the field somehow. I don't care if it's at corner. I don't care if it's at safety. I don't care where it is. I just want him on the field. That's where I'm at right now. And hopefully Nazir Adderley shows the coaching staff that he's healthy this offseason, that he's ready to go play, that he can contribute, because I firmly believe if he is on the field, he's going to make plays and he's going to make this defense better.
And Desmond King, I mean, admittedly didn't have a great season last year, but he's also a guy that's been one of the top graded at his position in the slot corner position in the NFL, right up there with Chris Harris. So I think this is another move that, obviously, are you adding talent? Yes. but I think it could cause more issues because this is causing other, you know, former All-Pro, former Pro Bowl players to lose time. And I mean, you already kind of saw it pop up on Twitter, you know, even though it's a, you know, a funny mistake or whatever. These aren't things that these athletes who think they're the best in the world are going to forget, right? I mean, these are all things these kind of athletes remember and they think about these things. So, I mean, Desmond King, right when the Chris Harris Jr. signing happened, but I've been underappreciated my whole life, you know, something along those lines. It's like, he's noticing. I don't think he's happy about it. Obviously, if somehow you could get Nazir Adderley at free safety or Nazir Adderley at outside corner, maybe Desmond King at free safety, you would like that, but you just have this unmitigated faith in guys like Michael Davis and Rayshon Jenkins. So that's the tough part, is just not even knowing how they're going to crack the field. But both of those guys have way too much talent to not be on this defense. And I think the Chargers right now, at least as things stand, look like they're sending out less talented players and leaving better guys on the bench, which is something that you definitely don't want to see. But I think those are all legitimate questions. Thank you for our four first-time callers today. And for everybody else out there that's called in, I still have your voicemails. I will get to all of them. It's just going to take a little bit of time. The next voicemail show is on Friday, and we have Craig and a couple more callers. So, Craig, if you've been waiting, I'm sorry. We have yours coming up on Friday, and everybody else, we're going to get to those as well. But once again, the number is 323-524-7924. That is going to do it for today's show. Until tomorrow, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On LAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. But today's show was a lot of fun, but we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.